Well, now that the Ohio State football season is over and done with, at some point we'll transition more into some hoops when we bring our next guest on, the one and only Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus. But there's the aftermath of the Cotton Bowl that absolutely must be discussed. Dunny, first and foremost, my man, thank you as always for making time for us. Have you recovered from your trip down to Big D?
Of course, A, and Matt Douglas. Woo!
Oh, yeah, see, he knew it was
coming.
I
hate those things.
It's too easy, man. It's just too easy. Now, he's coming around a bit. I got him to watch the 30 for 30 on the Nature Boys. All right.
There we go.
I'll give you that. I gave it a shot. It was interesting. It was hard to believe anyone could live their life that way, but apparently he did.
Did you stay up till 8 a.m. this morning to watch Wrestle Kingdom?
I did not. I didn't even know that was a thing. What is this?
What Wrestle Kingdom?
It's Japanese wrestling.
Okay.
Oh,
I missed that. Yeah. See, that's, my bad.
That's another thing that Flair did that very few people realize.
What's that?
Exactly.
So long before Dennis Rodman went over to North Korea and did his thing.
Flair did?
Flair went over to North Korea. He wrestled Antonio Inoki in front of hundreds of thousands of people back in the early 90s. And they told him, look, this is a gigantic gamble. You don't want to do it, knowing the relations we've got with North Korea. Flair voluntarily went over there, and he wrestled perhaps what is going to get – a guy that – tell me, what do you think, Dunny? Do you think Antonio Inoki will go down as one of the top three Japanese wrestlers of all time?
Oh, I think absolutely. I think there's no doubt about it. He's a legend in Japan, and he's a legend over here in the States. If you say his name to any wrestling fan, they know exactly who he is.
See? You're getting an education
here,
Matt
Douglas,
right?
I appreciate it. I have no idea who he is.
And Ric Flair is one of three wrestlers to have main evented a WrestleMania and a show at the Tokyo Dome, which is their WrestleMania for New Japan.
Wow. How about that?
Right.
Impressive.
Oh, very, very good stuff. Well, as much as I would love to talk to you about the Nature Boy.
I thought we were supposed to talk about the Buckeyes.
Yeah, we did that.
As much as I would love to talk about Nature Boy Ric Flair, we'll transition into some Ohio State football here. Boy, so many things came out of the Cotton Bowl. Donnie, you know my stance on bowl games that aren't necessarily tied to the college football playoff that aren't played on New Year's Day.
You're such a sourpuss.
Not a fan of any of these things, but you know there was some news that came out of this Cotton Bowl. I wanted to get your thoughts on Denzel Ward deciding not to play. When did you guys find out this was happening? Because when we spoke last week, there was no news that he coming out that he wasn't going to play.
Well, I found out when I saw the team walking out of the locker room towards the tunnel, and I saw Denzel Ward out there with his jersey on, but with sweatpants and no shoulder pads or a helmet on. So that was my first indication. And then right then and there, we got an email from Ohio State Athletics saying that, Denzel Ward is foregoing his last year at Ohio State and going to be declaring for the NFL draft, and then everyone saw his tweet. And so it was kind of a last-second thing going, oh, wow, Denzel Ward's not playing. All righty then, I guess this is some news.
Was that ever addressed? I mean, why was it a last-second thing? He was there in Dallas. He was with the team. I mean, he made it that far. Why not put on the shoulder pads?
I think for him, honestly, it was a last-second. I think it had been weighing on him for a while, probably since the Big Ten championship game, whether to play, whether to not play. He went down there. As he put it, and as his teammates put it, he could have been selfish and just not gone down, period, and not practiced at all, but he wanted to get his team ready. And there was also the possibility that he could have changed his mind and wanted to play. We talked to a lot of his teammates, some cornerbacks. We talked to his cornerbacks coach, and Kerry Gomes, and they were all, we respect his decision. He's our brother. He's part of the brotherhood. We respect what the decision he made to not play in the Cotton Bowl. We're all good with it. So I think a lot of Buckeye Nation was upset with it and still are. You look at it and imagine what the damage would have been if he would have played, because they did a pretty good number on Sam Darnold when he didn't play.
If you're an Ohio State fan and you're mad that he didn't play in this game, then you're nuts.
Why?
I agree.
You're nuts.
I disagree.
Knowing that what he could have
got a reason.
He's risking playing in the NFL. If he gets hurt, his draft stock plummets.
He made it through 11 games already without getting injured.
That doesn't mean he wouldn't get hurt in this one. It's a terrific risk he doesn't need to take.
When you look at last year, you look what happened to Jake Butt. You look at what happened with Jalen Smith a couple of years ago with Notre Dame when they played Ohio State. You know, you are risking not thousands of dollars, millions of dollars. Now you can turn around the whole thing and say, well, Sam Hubbard played, because he announced the next day that he was foregoing his last year at Ohio State, and he was declared for the draft. It's two different people, two different positions, two different mindsets when it comes to what you wanted to do. So I am completely 100% behind Denzel Ward and his decision not to play, because, you know, he's had the respect of all his teammates, of the brotherhood there for Ohio State, to say, you know what, I'm good, and you guys are good with me on that, and I appreciate it.
I'm with you, Donnie. Because, look, you could tell me all you would like about the Cotton Bowl and how important it was for Ohio State to win that game. In 2 years, nobody will remember, nobody will care whether they won the Cotton Bowl. For Jalen Ward, look, by many accounts, and I guess we are officially in mock draft season already, but
if you're a Browns fan, you were in mock draft season week three.
I was just going to say that happened about 2 months ago. But
learned a lot about Sam Darnold in that game. He's ready to be a Brown. Seven sacks.
Exactly.
And the conversations have already begun, but a lot of people think that Jalen Ward's going to be the first cornerback taken in this year's NFL draft, so it's a terrific risk for him to take.
Absolutely, and a lot of, you know, you say first round, I'm seeing a lot of plays where he could be top 15. A top 15 pick, and if he gets injured and he's out for the combine, for even the combine season, that's you know, maybe five picks lower, which is, again, million and a half, $2 million less in his pocket than he would have gotten if he would have gotten taken if he didn't get hurt.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, Donnie. I'm with you 100% on this. And again, I don't see how it would have benefited him to play in this Cotton Bowl. But regardless, speaking of the Cotton Bowl, what do you think that game did to affect JT Barrett's draft stock? Because a lot of people, I think, are very undecided on him. A lot of people here think that there's a chance the Browns could take a chance on him later on in the draft. They should take a flyer on him. Other people refute that and say, you've got your Ohio State glasses on, you're not looking at this objectively. Where do you think he goes in this process? Because he's done all the right things at Ohio State. You know, you look at the career he had there, it's going to be awfully tough to touch some of the numbers he's put up.
Absolutely. Some people are trying to compare him to Tim Tebow, and where did he get drafted? And I look at it this way. Tebow and JT are the same when it comes to leadership. The difference is Tim Tebow has the two national titles, and JT Barrett has a Cotton Bowl. He has a Big Ten title, and he helped the team get to a national title, but he didn't play in those final three games. It's very tough for JT. I think, if anything, he gets drafted late, maybe seventh round, but I think there's a good chance he could go undrafted.
Wow. How is that for a guy who just broke Drew Brees' offensive yards total mark there?
Mm-hmm. I think you look at his accuracy overall throughout his career. You look at the deep ball and how he throws it. I think there's a lot of questions still when it comes to that. That I don't think a lot of NFL teams like. His running ability helps. His ability to his smarts and his football IQ help him out a ton. So I think that's where you see, you know, he could be a late round pick. But I could see, again, going undrafted in the NFL draft. No NFL team's going to take a guy just going, oh, I like him. No, they're going to take a guy for a reason. Not because they have a hunch, in my opinion.
Is he a guy they could move to a different position? You don't hear any talk about that with him.
I think he could. I think he could move out to wide receiver if he wanted to. And if the team he gets drafted by or picked up by after the draft sells him on it, I think he could absolutely do that.
Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus, our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Well, this news apparently came up today about a new co-defensive coordinator. Now, nothing has been confirmed yet, but what do we know about this situation? Greg Schiano is coming back, but are the Buckeyes seeking another co-defensive coordinator?
So starting this year, all NCAA teams are allowed to add a 10th coach to their staff. And so I think, you know, you're talking about sources or reporter. There are a lot of reports out there that say that I think it's the Alex Grinch, the defensive coordinator from Washington State, would be coming to Ohio State. That's been out there for a little bit now. His family's from Ohio, so that kind of makes sense. Nothing's been confirmed by Ohio State or by Grinch, and probably won't be for a little bit now, at least for the next few days, maybe until after the weekend. But it's something that wouldn't surprise me. There's also talk now that Rich Rodriguez is out at Arizona, that might be a landing spot for Graziano. And there's been reports that he's been seen in Arizona. What that means, don't know, but it's definitely a possibility, because I think from now on, his name's going to pop up with any big-time head coaching vacancy.
Yeah, no, I just thought that was interesting, and I mean, I don't know, 10 coaches seems like a lot.
Oh, and that doesn't include support staff for the coaches and interns and grad assistants and everybody else like that.
Yeah, that's, I don't know, to me that just seems wild. 10 coaches is an absolute ton, but no, we saw that pop up today. Thought that was interesting, and again, you've got to believe that because it went down in Tennessee, Graziano, as you mentioned, is going to be mentioned anytime there's a head coaching vacancy. And look, I think he's one of those guys that definitely deserves another go around in the college game, and I think he's going to get it at some point. But we'll transition now onto the hardwood, my man. A big one coming up for the Ohio State Buckeyes on Sunday. They are going to host the Michigan State Spartans. Sparty is playing really, really well right now. They were one of the preseason favorites. And
Number one in the country, I believe.
And the scary thing is, look, Izzo's teams typically are a little slow out of the gate, and then they really kick it into high gear in March, but they've only lost once so far this year. Mm-hmm. Any chance of an OSU upset this Sunday?
Well, see, I believe we got into this during football season. They have a game tonight at Iowa. So I don't think they're even looking past Iowa to get to Michigan State, just like during football season when they were at Iowa, then home to Michigan State, back-to-back weeks. But I will tell you that it will definitely be a very tough test for the Buckeyes and Michigan State on Sunday. I don't really see much of a chance how they've played Gonzaga, how they played North Carolina. I think they'll keep it close. I think they might surprise people with how they play, but I don't think there's much of a chance for them to get the victory. Now, I could be wrong, and the shot is a very tough place to play for opposing teams, but I think you're going to have a very hungry Michigan State team coming into this game at the shot on Sunday.
Well, we will have it for you here on AM 930 WEOL. Pregame coverage begins at 4 o'clock. Dunny, it is always a pleasure to have you on with us. Hopefully you are fully recovered from your trip down to Dallas for the Cotton Bowl, and we look forward to having you on again next week.
Sounds good, guys. I'll talk to you guys next week. And Matt, woo!
Yes. See, it's infectious, man. It is very, very infectious on this show.
Annoying, infectious, same thing.
Oh, it's not annoying. You like it. You know you do.